Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Happy Friday and welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's tip off with one of the most popular annual sporting events here in the United States, the National Collegiate Athletic Association's Division I Men's Basketball Championship Tournament. Games are being played across the USA, and the pressure can be very intense. It's win or go home, a single elimination competition. The tournament is nicknamed March Madness, and it will culminate not in March, but on April 8th when the national championship game is played in Minneapolis, Minnesota. One of the first round winners on Thursday was Maryland, the 2002 national champion, whose campus is located just outside Washington, D.C. in College Park, Maryland. The Terrapins of Maryland held on to beat the Bruins of Belmont 79-77 in Jacksonville, Florida. Now, one of Maryland's top players is sophomore big man Bruno Fernando, who is from Angola. Bruno had 14 points and a game-high 13 rebounds on Thursday, and we'll hear from him now.
We got to be happy and excited. You know, this time of the year, not a lot of teams get to play and be here today. And we just got a win. You know, we passed to the next round. So, you know, it felt great to be out there and just play as a team. I think we did a lot of great things on the court.
A lot of those great things on the court came in the second half in Jacksonville. Maryland trailed 40-34 at halftime, but scored on its first six possessions of the second half. Maryland's head coach is Mark Turgeon.
That team's too good for us to you know, let down defensively. So we kept trying to guard. We knew it was going to come, and we made some plays right before half. I think that gave us confidence going into halftime, and then we started the second half terrific.
Mark Turgeon and Maryland will next play Louisiana State University, LSU, on Saturday. LSU defeated Yale 79-74 in Jacksonville. Forward Naz Reid scored 14 points and grabbed 10 rebounds for LSU, and he gave credit to Yale for their fighting spirit.
It was pretty tough, hard-nosed team that, you know, who didn't let up, and they were very competitive, and, you know, that's something you're going to see throughout the whole March Madness.
And here's a fun March Madness fact for our Voice of America listeners. LSU has produced three, count them, three Hall of Fame basketball players: Bob Pettit, Pistol Pete Maravich, and Shaquille O'Neal. Big Shaq! I still remember those rim-shaking dunks by Big Shaq. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Now, the top-seeded teams in the U.S. Men's College Basketball Championship Tournament are Gonzaga, Virginia, Duke, and North Carolina. Virginia, Duke, and North Carolina all play their opening games in the tournament later Friday. Virginia is matched against Gardner-Webb. Duke, led by Hall of Fame coach Mike Krzyzewski, will play North Dakota State. And North Carolina will face Iona. Gonzaga got off to a good start on Thursday when they routed Fairleigh Dickinson University 87-49 in Salt Lake City, Utah. French forward Killian Tillier scored a season-high 17 points for the Bulldogs of Gonzaga.
Being back with my teammates is really fun. I think they did a great job playing with me, and I did a great job playing with them, so I think it was a pretty good night tonight.
Meanwhile, Gonzaga's head coach, Mark Few, had this to say after his team's big victory.
We did a good job handling the physicality with our vertical contests and got up and blocked some shots, which we've done all year. And again, when we're doing that, that kind of gets us out running, and we're obviously at our best when we're out running.
Gonzaga has also produced some excellent basketball players over the years, including Hall of Famer John Stockton, regarded as one of the greatest point guards of all time. Stockton, now retired, holds the NBA records for most career assists and steals. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music, and Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
In National Basketball Association action Thursday night, the defending NBA champion Golden State Warriors won easily at home over the visiting Indiana Pacers. The AP's Ryan Leong reports from Oakland, California.
Despite scoring only 19 points in the first quarter, the Warriors amassed 69 points in the second and third quarters combined and go on to rout the Pacers 112-89. All five starters for Golden State were in double digits, led by DeMarcus Cousins, who had 19 points and 11 rebounds. Klay Thompson added 18 points.
Well, we're all healthy, which helps a lot. And we're very deep now with the acquisition of Andrew. And we're just really locked in these last regular season games because you don't want any slip-ups heading into the playoffs. We want to feel good about ourselves.
Kevin Durant and Stephen Curry each with 15 points.
We weren't making shots and a little stagnant on offense, so our defense definitely won us the game tonight and allowed that offensive trigger to be as impactful to end the second quarter and to start that second half.
The Pacers dropped to 3-11 on the road since Victor Oladipo's season-ending knee injury, and they were swept on this four-game road trip. In the loss, Tyreek Evans with 20 points off the bench. Ryan Leong, Oakland.
Thanks, Ryan. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. We heard Klay Thompson in Ryan's report say, "We're very deep now with the acquisition of Andrew." Klay is referring to Australian center Andrew Bogut, who recently returned to the Warriors after playing for the Sydney Kings in Australia's National Basketball League. The 34-year-old Bogut played for Golden State between 2012 and 2016, and he was a member of Golden State's NBA championship team in 2015. Elsewhere around the NBA, Boston Celtics guard Marcus Smart has been fined $50,000 by the league for forcefully shoving Cameroonian star Joel Embiid of the Philadelphia 76ers to the floor during a game Wednesday night. The incident occurred during the third quarter of Boston's 118-115 loss to host Philadelphia. Smart received a flagrant foul, too, by the officials and was ejected from the game. Yes, you could say Marcus Smart was not very smart doing that to Joel Embiid. Marcus Smart, not very smart. Kiki Vandeweghe, the NBA's executive vice president of basketball operations, announced the fine. He noted Smart's repeated acts of unsportsmanlike conduct during games this season.
This is Dikembe Mutombo. I am from Africa. Malaria kills thousands of children every day. Don't let your child be one of them. Make sure they sleep under a treated mosquito net. Beating malaria is like winning at basketball. You need to get to the net.
This is the voice of America. Washington, Bamboozit, D.C.
Voice of America.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In African boxing, a fighter from the Democratic Republic of Congo is hoping to make a big impression here in the United States. So says our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moeta.
Sonny, we're really excited when an African shows up in the fight game here in America. Because, you know, this is the mecca of boxing. What they do in Africa, it's okay, but you really need to come here to fight the lions and the tigers, you know. Patrick Mukala is a super middleweight from Democratic Republic of Congo. He has a record of 11 wins, 1 loss, and 1 draw with 10 knockouts, 65 wins in the amateurs and 5 losses. And he's age 25. And he said he was really inspired at age of 15 after watching Rumble in the Jungle, Muhammad Ali against George Foreman in Kinshasa, Congo. And that motivated him to go into boxing. He is a WBA Pan-African super middleweight champion, has power in both hands. Coming to America, we expect to see him in action. And hopefully we will knock out a couple of guys on live television. And we will say, welcome to America, Patrick Mukala.
Welcome to America. I like that, Namdi. Patrick Mukala, a fighter to watch. Another fighter to watch coming up this weekend from South Africa.
VOA.
Tell our VOA listeners about that.
Well, less than 3 months after his dad, David Van Heerden, was murdered in South Africa. I remember also David Van Heerden was a professional fighter. His son, Chris Van Heerden, will step into the ring right here in Costa Mesa, California, Saturday night against Mexican fighter Mahori Montes. And Chris Van Heerden, this will be his first fight on the deal with ESPN and Top Rank, which means you're looking at eyeballs because boxing is on a different level right now. Lots of fights on ESPN, millions of fight fans tune in. So the big exposure for Chris Van Heerden, not only in America, but around the globe, in Africa, you know. So the best move in his career was to align with Top Rank and Bob Arum.
Namdi, I remember you mentioning Van Heerden competing in that Jose Suleiman tournament. What happened to that competition?
Well, Sonny, that's a good question you just brought up, because remember, that was Evander Holyfield, the legendary boxer who put together this tournament. Well, when you put together a tournament and you move it around the country and you have TV, and suddenly you can come up with the cash, you run out of cash. It's all about cash flow, which means you run out of money. The boxers have no choice but to bail and find fights somewhere else. And that's exactly what happened. The Jose Suleiman tournament is over, and the fighters have been released to move on.
Thanks, Namdi. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moeta. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. We heard Namdi say how Congolese fighter Patrick Mukala was inspired to put on the boxing gloves after watching a film of the famous Rumble in the Jungle between Muhammad Ali and George Foreman. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, VOA's Adam Phillips looks back on that epic encounter 45 years ago in Kinshasa, as well as Ali's legacy.
George Foreman, now the heavyweight champion himself, did accept Ali's challenge. Ali was heavily favored to lose. The boxing world readied itself for a colossal contest between the two men. It was set for Kinshasa in the former Zaire, now called the Democratic Republic of Congo. Ali called the contest the Rumble in the Jungle.
I think it was speaking to the historic role that Ali had played in terms of black nationalism, black pride.
Almost from the beginning, the African public favored Muhammad Ali over George Foreman. Sammons explains part of the cause.
George Foreman made the serious mistake of taking a German police dog with him to Zaire. And this dog symbolized oppression and white colonialism. So George Foreman became persona non grata, and there was this famous French chant by kids and others, Ali Bumbaye, Ali kill him.
In private, Ali lacked confidence. He spontaneously came to call on his friend, the photographer George Kolinsky, at his office.
And I said, "What's going on?" He said, "Well, I'm fighting George Foreman in Zaire. He's too big, he's too strong, he's too fast, he's too young, he's too quick, he's too big. There's no way I can beat him in this fight."
Kolinsky says he thought about it for a moment, then came up with a strategy that would become an Ali hallmark.
I said, "You know, Muhammad, all your life you've been training for this fight, but you didn't know it. Whenever I saw you working out, which are many, many times working out in a gym with your sparring partner, what you do is you lean against the ropes and you let your sparring partner hit you and hit you and hit you. What you do the night of the fight is the same thing. You lean against the ropes, just let them swing away, and you act like a dope on the ropes, like you're sick, like you're not well. And eventually he's going to tire himself out. Then you knock him out." He said, "You mean you want me to be a rope-a-dope?" I said, "Okay, we'll call it rope-a-dope." And that's what happened when he fought George Foreman.
The fight took place in a football stadium under the moon. It was a brutal contest, but Ali sent Foreman to the floor in the eighth round and reclaimed his heavyweight title. As ecstatic fans streamed to the ring, the commentator, David Frost, crowed, "The great man has done it. This is the most joyous scene in the history of boxing." Basking in his victory, Ali was invited to the White House to meet President Gerald Ford, a clear sign of Ali's rehabilitation in official eyes. But there were more challenges to come. Most famously, there would be Ali's epic rematch against Joe Frazier in October 75 in Manila, the Philippines. During the build-up to what became known as the Thriller in Manila, the animosity between the two men was electric.
"I wrote a short poem. It says it will be a killer and a thriller and a killer when I get the gorilla in Manila."
From the first bell, the men went at each other with unstoppable, constant, vicious energy. Ali finally won in the 15th round, but Jeffrey Sammons says both men paid a terrible price.
And Ali said about it that it was the closest thing to death that he had ever experienced or could imagine. And of course, we know that Ali had Parkinson's syndrome, which many believe was brought on by the brain trauma that he suffered.
There were more bouts. but George Kolinsky and others could not help but notice that Ali was slurring his speech and that his hands were unsteady.
And I said, Muhammad Ali, why are you fighting? You're going to hurt yourself. You're already becoming hurt. And he said, in his whisper way, he said, you know, the ring is my stage, and I'm the most famous person in the world to look at. If I didn't have the ring as my stage, if I stop fighting, everybody else is going to forget who I am. So I have to continue this way.
On more than one occasion, Ali attempted freelance diplomacy. In 1979, when the Soviet Union invaded Afghanistan, U.S. President Jimmy Carter called for a worldwide boycott of the 1980 Olympic Games in Moscow.
And he enlists Ali to go to Africa to convince African leaders that they should not participate in the 80 Olympics. The African leaders are, first of all, resentful of the fact that Jimmy Carter would send a boxer to do his bidding.
Sammons adds that many leaders were also bitter that the United States didn't boycott the 1976 Olympics in Montreal as a protest against New Zealand, which played cricket, rugby, and football with South Africa, then living under apartheid.
So they said, you wouldn't support us on the 76 Olympics in Montreal. We're not going to support you on the 80 Olympics in Moscow.
Ali fought his last fight in 1981, a shell of his former physical self. But as his Parkinson's worsened, he committed himself to humanitarian concerns. He represented UNICEF and the Special Olympics. In 1990, during the run-up to the first Gulf War, Ali successfully negotiated with Saddam Hussein for the release of American hostages. He also fundraised tirelessly for medical research into Parkinson's. Photographer George Kolinsky says Ali was almost universally revered later in life. That's why Ali was asked to light the torch inaugurating the 1996 Olympic Games in Atlanta, Georgia.
He represented goodness, he represented a champion, and he represented a person that the world loved. And when he held that torch up, shaking from his Parkinson's, people began to love Muhammad Ali more and more and more. It certainly was one of the shining moments of his life. There's no question in the world that he is the greatest of all time.
When Muhammad Ali died, the world lost a man many considered to be the greatest athlete of the 20th century. The world also grieved for a principled, albeit flawed, human being who truly combined the beauty of the butterfly with the sting of the bee. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm VOA's Adam Phillips in New York.
Thanks, Adam. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. World football's governing body, FIFA, says it will allow only natural grass fields at the 2023 Women's World Cup. The stipulation is contained in requirements sent to bidding nations and follows controversy over the use of artificial turf at the 2015 tournament in Canada. The 2019 Women's World Cup will be hosted by France, and it will not have any artificial pitches at the nine venues. However, it will be the first Women's World Cup to use the video assistant referee system. The FIFA Council recently approved the use of VAR at France 2019. The technology was previously used at last year's FIFA Men's World Cup in Russia. The 2019 Women's World Cup will kick off in Paris on June 7th, and the final will be played in Lyon on July 7th. The United States is the defending Women's World Cup champion, and the Americans will be bidding for their fourth world title overall. In a related story, defender Ali Krieger is returning to the U.S. Women's National Team for the first time since 2017. The 34-year-old Krieger was named to the USA's roster for friendly matches against Australia and Belgium as the American women prepare for France 2019. And that wraps up the March 22nd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nick Ivanoff. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the sunny side of sports.
Hello, this is Peter Clotty, host of Nightline Africa. Please join us every Saturday and Sunday at 16 and 18 hours UTC. Nightline Africa is VOA's Africa's weekend show that provides news, features, and entertainment news about Africa and the world. Tune in. You will be glad you did. I guarantee it.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music. And Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of VOA's Encounter. Next up, the 16th anniversary of the U.S.-led invasion of Iraq and a status update on Syria and the growing role of Iran in both nations. We talk with Barbara Leaf, former U.S. ambassador to the UAE, and Ellen Lapson, professor at George Mason University. That's Encounter, Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America. Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of VOA's Press Conference USA. On this edition of the program, a conversation with Angela Stent, author of the new book, Putin's World, Russia Against the West and with the Rest. Stent tells us how Russia, under the strongman rule of Vladimir Putin, has reemerged as a global but dangerous and destabilizing autocratic power on the world stage. That's Press Conference USA, Saturday and Sunday, on The Voice of America.
This is Science in a Minute.
When you were quite young, didn't it seem as though time just dragged by so slowly and the school year seemed so long that it would never end? But perhaps you've also noticed that as you get older, time appears to be going by faster and faster. No, this isn't your imagination talking. According to scientists at Duke University in Durham, North Carolina, this phenomenon is real, and it comes down to physics. In a study, the Duke researchers put the blame for this on the aging process itself. They say as we get older, the speed in which our brains obtain and process mental images slows down at an increasing rate over time. The researchers suggest the webs of nerves and neurons in our brains grow in size and density as we get older, which leads to longer paths for signals to travel. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Border Crossings.
Join host Larry London.
Larry London.
On Border Crossings, VOA's only worldwide music request hour.
Whoa.
Every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in for the biggest hits and amazing artists. Win prizes and get the latest news from exclusive celebrity interviews.
Ooh.
Send your requests to Facebook at VOA Larry London, Twitter at Border Crossings, or Instagram at Border Crossings VOA. Or call 202-619-2077 and have your favorite music played to the entire world.
Ah.
Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal, only on The Voice of America.
Hi, this is Lori London.
Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondence reports around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.
This is VOA.